Our Old Testament reading is going to come from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, which we'll be reading from verse 1 through 11 of chapter 26, which is found on page 174 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all of the fruits of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place which the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare this day to the Lord your God that I have come into the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God, a wandering Aramean was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite, and the sojourner who is among you. Our epistle reading will come from the book of Romans. We'll be reading from chapter 10 in the book of Romans, beginning at verse 8b through chapter 12, which is found on page 983 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and bestows his riches upon all who call upon him. And our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 13. Found on page 892 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it shall all be yours. And Jesus answered him, It is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will give his angels charge of you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, It is said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. It's the word of the Lord. Believe it or not, in some sectors of the church, this Sunday is actually called Satan Sunday. That's because this is the first time in the Christian year that the devil makes his appearance in the grand narrative of the New Testament. I realize, of course, that we don't talk a whole lot about the devil here. One time someone had asked me about that, why we don't talk a whole lot about the devil, and all I could say is that as a minister of word and sacrament, I don't get paid to talk much about the devil. I get paid to talk about God, the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. And besides, I figure the devil has enough press anyway, and so I talk about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. But every once in a while, we have to give the devil his due, because it is the devil who sometimes helps us to think about what it means for all of us to be sons and daughters of God. In many of the depictions of the devil I have seen, the image that is presented either tends to be a comical figure, an image of a comical figure, someone in red tights and pitchfork, or either it's a sinister and repulsive figure that would readily repel most of us. And I'm sure that's the way that the devil appears in the eyes of God, either as a comical figure or as a grotesque figure. But I suspect that for most of us, when the devil comes, he is far more appealing than we would care to admit. The devil usually comes to us speaking our language, appealing to our deep-seated fears and prejudices. He often comes to us promising us safety and grandeur. He even sometimes comes to us quoting Scripture. But the main purpose of the Satan, the devil, as he has come to be called, is to lead us astray by tempting us away from the path of God. We often associate temptation with weakness. I heard it once said that only weak people are tempted, but all of us know that that's not true. We can all be tempted. In fact, we are often all tempted from time to time, even the strongest of us. And one would think that if anyone would be exempt from the tempting wiles of the devil, it would be Jesus himself. After all, Jesus is the Son of God. He heard that said about himself at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, said the divine voice. in whom I am well pleased. That's what Jesus heard at his baptism. Maybe Jesus was tempted to get the big head right then and there at his baptism when he heard who he was, that he was the Son of God. I am the Son of God. And we are reminded that the Son of God language is kingly language. It's messianic language. It was the divine announcement that Jesus is Israel's king. Jesus is Israel's Messiah. But what kind of Son of God is Jesus going to be? That was the question. And that's why Jesus goes to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I find it intriguing that it's the Holy Spirit that leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Whenever we think about being led by the Spirit, what usually comes to mind is green pastures and still waters, not the valley of the shadow of death. But that's where the Spirit leads Jesus. It leads him out into the wilderness for his confrontation with the devil, because Jesus is the Son of God. He is Israel's king. He is the Messiah. And the devil is waiting to tempt him. Satan has no problem, of course, with Jesus being the Son of God. He has no problem with Jesus being the Messiah, no problem with Jesus being Israel's king. In fact, Satan plays on that. Since you are the Son of God, is what the Greek should actually read, in my opinion, not if you are the Son of God, as if Satan is trying to cast doubt in Jesus' mind as to who he is. Jesus has already heard that he is the Son of God. But since you are the Son of God, says the devil, act like it. Do what a Son of God is supposed to do. Do what a king is supposed to do. Act like a Messiah is supposed to act. Since you are the Son of God, feed people. Isn't that what a king is supposed to do? Look after the material needs and concerns of the people. Since you're the Son of God, do that. Since you are the Son of God, show the people that you can protect them, that you can keep them safe. Isn't that what a king is supposed to do? Since you are the Son of God, seek after glory. Seek after all the kingdoms of the world. I can give all the kingdoms to you. They all belong to me, and I can give them to whoever I want. They all belong to me. All you need to do, Jesus, is worship me. In other words, all you have to do is do things my way, says the Satan. We should note that there's nothing particularly diabolical in what the Satan is asking Jesus to do. In fact, most of them are good things, good, laudable goals for any ambitious, compassionate Son of God. Who wouldn't want to feed people? Who wouldn't want to protect people? And indeed, if you have good intentions, who wouldn't want influence? Who wouldn't want worldly influence? Indeed, Jesus will feed people, 4,000 people in one instance and 5,000 people in the other. Jesus will heal people and protect people from the powers of death and disease. Jesus will even be declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Jesus will do it God's way. He will not do it the devil's way. Jesus will remain completely obedient and faithful to God. And he will not seek to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will not seek to be the Messiah in the way that the devil wants Jesus to do it. We know the ways of the devil, which is seeking power, seeking to control and dominate, seeking to establish oneself over others. But in everything that Jesus does, he walks the way of the cross. He walks the way of self-giving love. And that is the way that Jesus will become king. That is the way that Jesus wins the victory. That is the way that Jesus becomes Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's by walking the way of the cross. Every year we read this story of the temptation at the outset of Lent. As we prepare for our own 40-day sojourn with Jesus as he makes his way to the cross. And I know that some people are not necessarily endeared to the season of Lent with all of its ashes and fasting and praying, particularly many of us Protestants. Lent is something we say that Catholics do. But over the years, I've come to appreciate the season of Lent as a time set aside to help us to think about what it means to be sons and daughters of God. That's who we are, all of us. At some point or another in our lives, someone lifted us up at our baptisms and said in a voice declaring us to be sons and daughters of God. Not like Jesus is the Son of God. Only Jesus is the Messiah. Only Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But we are his people. We are in him. We belong to him. I suspect that many of us have our own individual temptations that we are vulnerable to. I suspect many of us have those times when the devil speaks especially strong in our ears. I have my temptations, and I'm sure you have yours as well. I suspect many of us, too, have our own individual wilderness experiences, those times when we feel spiritually depleted, spiritually defeated, spiritually malnourished. For some of us, it may be a hospital room. For some of us, it may be a jail cell or a courtroom where we are contending with someone that we once loved. But in all of those instances, we are called to put our trust in God and to remember who we are, that we are sons and daughters of God. Now, I know that many of you are people who've already made a decision for God. Many of you, in fact, all of you, are probably not going to be tempted to do anything terribly diabolical. Probably not going to be tempted to take an axe and chop down your next door neighbor. At least I don't think. Probably not going to rob a bank or do anything like that. But the problem with us as sons and daughters of God is not that we are tempted to do anything terribly diabolical. The problem with us is that we are perhaps tempted or might be tempted to do the right thing in the wrong way. The devil isn't concerned that you and I are sons and daughters of God. That doesn't bother the devil too much. What the devil wants is for you and I to be sons and daughters of God in the wrong way. He wants us to do things his way instead of doing things the way that God wants us to do it. Many of us have a vision of the way that we think the world ought to be. We have a vision of the kinds of things that we want to do, a vision of what we would like to do and what we would like to accomplish in the name of God. For some of us, it may be feeding the hungry. If we could only feed hungry people, if we could only avail ourselves of the levers of power so that we can feed hungry people, just think what a wonderful world that would be. For some of us, it may be doing everything that we can to make sure that everyone is safe and protected. If we could only, again, be able to lay hold on what we need to lay hold of in order to accomplish our goals. If we only align ourselves with the right political party, if we are only able to make sure that we have the right number of people on the Supreme Court, if we are only able to avail ourselves of the power that we need, then we can make the world a better place. In the midst of all of that, Satan speaks to us. Yes, just do it my way. We can be wonderful partners if you do things my way. With your vision and my know-how, we can do wonderful things. I have the worldly know-how and you have the vision. And together we can accomplish great things. But Jesus calls us to follow him. Jesus reminds us that the way that we are called to walk is not the way of worldly power. The way that we are called to walk is the way of self-giving love. I'm reminded of the old German legend of Dr. Faustus. You remember that legend, Dr. Faustus makes his deal with the devil. All the devil has to do is give him power, and with that power, he will effect the purposes that he wants to effect. And he sells his soul to the devil. And isn't that the great danger that we have sometimes as well? The danger of selling our souls to the devil. Selling our souls to the devil in order to accomplish some aspect of the good. But we're reminded that the good can never come in any old kind of way. The way that God accomplishes the victory, the way that God overcomes evil is not by participating in worldly means, but the way that God overcomes evil is by walking the way of the cross. And if we're going to be true sons and daughters of God, then that's the way that we are called to walk as well. I'm reminded of Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, where, you know, everyone's after the ring of power. If we could just lay hold of the ring. But Gandalf understands that to lay hold of the ring is dangerous. Even those who think that they can wear the ring well knows, or will come to find out, that the ring is dangerous. It corrupts. And the way of power corrupts, the way of Satan corrupts. It turns us against the purposes of God. And so to be sons and daughters of God is not to seek after worldly power. To be sons and daughters of God is to walk the way of love, even love for our enemies. And that's the way that Jesus is resolved to walk. Get behind me, Satan, he says. Get behind me, because your way is the way of spiritual death. Jesus will say the same thing to Peter when Peter protests that Jesus must suffer and die. No, Lord, that's not the way the Messiah is supposed to do things. That's not the way the Messiah is supposed to accomplish things. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, because you're thinking like a human being. You're grasping after the reins of power. We very much today live in a divided world. And unfortunately, the church is just as divided as the world is divided. Because we are using the world as an indicator of the way in which we should walk. And so we have nothing particularly to offer the world when we are using its methods, because we think that we can change the world by using the world's methods. But Jesus calls us to walk in a different way, to walk in the way of the cross. That's why I love the season of Lent. Because Lent reminds us what it means to be sons and daughters of God. Lent helps to clarify for us what it means to walk in the ways of God. It's a season of fasting and praying and discerning what it means to be children of God. And without it, we are tempted to follow the devil. And so on this Sunday, on this Satan Sunday, let us be mindful of who we are. Let us be mindful of what we heard at our baptisms, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. And that means that at the very center of our lives is the self-giving love that sustains us and that propels us along the way of life. But that way of life has a cross at the center of it. And that cross is an emblem of God's great love for us. That the power of God and the power that God shows each and every one of us is not the power to crush us. It's not the power to overwhelm us. It's not the power to show how big God is. All the kinds of things that we sometimes thirst for and hunger for. We could just have the power. The power of God is the power that loves us loved us, that even now is loving us back to life. That's the power that we are called to seek, because that's the power that is the most powerful thing in the world, the self-giving power of the love of God. And to be a child of God is not only to accept that love, but to reflect it as well. You are sons and daughters of God. That's the way that we are called to walk. Let us pray. Lord, we are tempted in every way to make our deals with the devil. And sometimes those deals seem so right to us. We align ourselves with positions of power and with those who assure us that they can affect the change that we want. But you have reminded us that that power corrupts. It turns us against ourselves. It turns us against one another. And it corrupts our souls and leads us astray from the path that you have called us to walk. Help us keep the goal in front of us, which is the goal of new creation. But we know that that new creation comes by way of the cross. And so we ask that you help us and empower us to continue to be faithful in walking that way, so that you can help us to truly be the resurrection people that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.